Hello, everybody. It's Joanna. So happy to be on this recording and sharing this with you today. So just so you know what we're doing on this recording today, because it's our first recorded class, as part of Coaching Mastery Circle, once a month, we've got a coaching skills-related class. And half of those classes are live. We've already had two live classes, one in September, which was our kind of big kickoff and assessment for the year. And then in October, it was our practicum, where we went deeper into mastering effective language with clients. And today is going to be our first recorded session. And so, you know, these calls, the coaching skills calls, are kind of like topics to help you go deeper with some of the things that we've looked at in sacred depths and additional things, too. So I'm really excited about our topic for today. It's one that's really important, not just for your clients. It will help you create better results with your clients, but it's an important one for you, too. And what we're going to be looking at today is the topic of eliminating distractions and creating systems so that we can help our clients with those techniques create more time for themselves and be more productive and be more at peace. We touched on this briefly in the Move with the Flow of Time module in Sacred Depths, but I want to really kind of go much deeper in it and expand it for you and give you underpinnings and understandings around distractions and systems, and then also give you different techniques for being able to help clients with them. So what we're going to be looking at today is the many ways that we or our clients either waste time or, you know, have our energies drained or avoid truly being with ourselves and our inner wisdom. And all of us do this, myself included. All of us do these things in one way or another, and when we do these things, we waste our time or do things that drain our energy or do things to avoid truly being with ourselves and our inner wisdom. It makes us less productive. We're ultimately cranky because of it. It makes us feel like we can't get our projects done in the ways that we want to get them done. It makes us feel like we don't have enough time. And what I think is most dangerous around distractions is that they're unconscious most of the time. In other words, just like a lot of our negative thinking patterns, if you guys remember back to rewire negative thought patterns, just like our negative thinking patterns, we're often either unaware of the ways that we sabotage ourselves through distractions, or we tell ourselves that the distraction is more important than our actual heart-centered goal or desire. We're doing this, and our clients are doing this too, and so it can be incredibly powerful and useful when we are coaching our clients to be able to create awareness around these things and then help them move around it. So in my experience, when we begin to actually acknowledge and explore around our distractions, we uncover the root of it all, fear and anxiety, as the culprits. So the distractions are usually there because of fear and anxiety, holding us back from our heart-centered goals and desires. So we're going to be looking today, I'm going to lay out for you so that you understand this in terms of your own behavior, your client's behavior, three different levels or types of distractions. And then we're also going to be, and how to work with them in your coaching. And then we're also going to be looking at how to organize, to do some organization, which will help with the distractions, and also just help create more time in our lives. So again, all of this is in service to either creating more time for our clients and for their schedules, or to breaking through obstacles that they put in their way of being fully present to themselves and what they want to accomplish. So let's take a look at the first type of distraction that I want you to be aware of for yourself and also for your clients, or to be able to explore for your, you know, with your clients. And this first type of distraction, I call them micro distractions. They're kind of the first level of distractions. They're smaller. And so this is what micro distractions are. So picture this scenario. Let's say you have a paper to write, or a newsletter to write, or a report to prepare, or basically anything that you need to do on the computer that might take you anywhere from a half hour to 2 hours. You sit down and you start writing. You eke out a couple of sentences, and then all of a sudden you realize that you're thirsty. So you get up for a glass of water, and then you return to your desk a minute later. It then takes about maybe 15 to 20 seconds for you to be able to refocus on that paper or newsletter or whatever report you were writing, and you begin writing again. But about 5 or 6 minutes later, you feel stuck in your writing. And so you decide that it's a good moment to go post that status or post any status on social media. And then you end up spending 5 minutes playing around on social media. And then you bring yourself back to your writing, to your paper, your newsletter, whatever it is. And again, it takes another half a minute for you to just settle back in, to get refocused, maybe even longer than that, because you don't remember the last thought that you were working on when you were writing. And then maybe you work for another 10 minutes, but then you find yourself making your food shopping list for later that day. So the details of this scenario might not be exactly what mesh up for you, but does it sound familiar? So these are micro distractions. And when all is said and done, these micro distractions, which can also include getting snacks, checking email, going back and perfecting the first sentence you've written, even though it's perfectly fine, realizing you need to make a doctor's appointment while you're doing your writing, calling friends, and my personal favorite, and this one can kind of go over way, either way, because sometimes you just really need to, but taking bathroom breaks, right? So all of these things can end up eating away a ton of our time. All of these micro distractions can insidiously zap our energy, our clients' energy, and our time from the things that we really want to be focusing on. And it's not only the time itself that the distractions themselves take, it's also that every time you direct energy away from one thing and onto another, it then takes more time and energy to redirect back onto your original intention. You interrupt the flow every time you follow or give in to a distraction. Our prefrontal cortexes can really only manage one focus at a time. And so if we move our focus onto a micro distraction, even if it seems like the tiniest little thing, like getting a snack, our prefrontal cortexes are no longer focused on the writing that we were doing, and it's always going to take more time to get back into it. So let's pause here for a moment, and just for you to do a little exploration for yourself, take a moment and jot down, what are your micro distractions? Think about all of the things you do in the day, all of those little things that distract you and take up your time. For sure these days, technology, you know, I used to teach about distractions 10 years ago, and it was just when social media was coming more onto the scene, and it you know, it wasn't as much of a big deal, but for sure these days, almost all of us have social media as a micro distraction. What is it for you? What are some of the things for you? Do you sit down to do a project, start doing a project, and then all of a sudden you just start worrying about something that's going on with your kids, right? Again, not to say you shouldn't be on top of whatever's happening with your children, but is that something that worry comes to you, right? Or it's really more of a distraction from what you're doing? Do you tend to remember that you need green tea right as you've started to work on something important? What are the things for you? How much longer do your projects take than they need to because you're prone to distraction? You may not know exactly, but just right, think about that. Like how much quicker things might be if you didn't have these micro distractions? And how often do you not complete a project or an action step by a certain time, you know, by in the time that you've allotted for it because of micro distractions? So why is it that we often use these particular types of distractions, these micro distractions, in our lives when we're working on projects that are important to us? You know, they can seem at the outset so innocuous, right? Like, we can easily justify them. We easily say, oh, I'm just taking a few minutes to make this one call to my parents. Right? And just by the way, when I talk about micro distractions, I'm not talking about consciously, intentionally taking a break because you need one or because something really needs to get done. I'm talking about all of the little breaks that aren't actually intentional. So, of course, we all need to take a rest, to give our minds an opportunity to let go for a little bit in order to just have space to get the next piece of wisdom when we're working. And we all have important priorities, right, that we need to make time for. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about here is it's almost like we don't realize we're doing it or it's not really intentional. So why is it that we often use these types of micro distractions? Well, from what I've seen over working with so many individuals is that we use these micro distractions as avoidance because the task at hand seems too difficult or overwhelming. Avoidance because maybe we feel bored by the task at hand. Avoidance because maybe we're scared to put the project out into the world because we think it's not good enough or we'll be ridiculed or whatever it is. Or maybe avoidance because we don't realize it, but the task at hand or the project isn't actually one that we're meant to be doing. We're actually not aligned with it. So I really find that these micro distractions don't happen because we really need the snack. Again, bathroom break might be different, right? But it's really usually 9 times out of 10 because we're avoiding for one reason or another. So take a moment and just ask yourself, what kinds of projects or tasks or actions do you find yourself moving to just these micro distractions the most? Is it, do you tend to do it when you're working on your marketing? Do you tend to go to these micro distractions when you've given your yourself time and space for real nourishing self-care? Do you tend to go to these micro distractions when you've carved out time for journaling and doing inner work for yourself? Where do you find yourself going to these micro distractions the most? And then next question, if the micro distractions are indeed avoidance mechanisms, why do you sense you might be avoiding these things, even if you've identified them as things that are really important to you? So probably you already know the answer to this question because of going through sacred depths, and you know, you've seen this in your smarty pants. But that being said, I want you, if you're not already doing this, I want you to start creating awareness around these pieces for your clients, especially the clients that tend to not get the things done that they want to get done, right? Or have trouble and they don't know why they're not getting things done in the right amount of time, or whatever it is, things are taking too long for them. Just bringing awareness to the action, to the micro distraction, will be super helpful. And then helping, creating awareness around what they're avoiding, because, you know, by doing the micro distraction, will help even more to start repatterning so that they can focus more. So once you've created this awareness for your clients, how can you help them refocus? What are some strategies that you can suggest for helping your clients stay focused on the task at hand that they want to get done? Well, number one, and most important, is committing or recommitting to the task at hand, right? That's pretty obvious. So how can you help your clients commit or recommit to the task at hand? Well, first of all, by helping them just acknowledge any fear or anxiety that they have around it, right, that's creating the avoidance. That's number one. And then from there, help them clarify or remember what their deep why is, W-H-Y is, around that project or action step. Why are they writing the newsletter, right? Why is it important to them that they're doing it? When we can, first of all, just acknowledge the fear, right? Remember back to befriend your fear, just acknowledging the fear, the anxiety. It helps to subside a little bit. And you can obviously also take them through the entire befriend your fear process. And then getting them reconnected to the why. It will be inspiring for them, heart-opening for them. It will bring them back to their commitment. So that's one strategy. Another strategy is to help your clients work on their schedule. So in other words, if they tend to, if snacks tend to be one of their main micro distractions, actually work with them to schedule in snack time. If social media is one of their main distractions, instead of doing it when they're working on a project that's important to them, help them get their social media time scheduled in to their weekly schedule. If it's errands that they need to do, help them get errand time scheduled in to their ideal weekly schedule. And then another strategy, I'll give you a couple more strategies. Another strategy is whatever your client's main micro distractions are, eliminate the distraction from the immediate environment of the task at hand. So in other words, if it's email, that is a micro distraction. They can turn off their email before they start writing something. If it's getting up, usually to get a glass of water or a snack, have them start a new routine where before they start the writing of the newsletter or the project, you know, whatever they're doing, they have a glass of water and a snack at their desk ready to go. If a micro distraction for your client is that they work in an office and they tend to schmooze with their coworkers instead of doing the project at hand, you can strategize with your client so that they can tell their coworkers before they work on a big project that they need their support and not to engage with them for the next hour, right? So whatever they can do to eliminate the micro distraction. Two more strategies for micro distractions. The next is they may need shorter work chunks. So if it takes them 2 hours, if they're putting aside 2 hours, let's say, to write a report or whatever it is, and they're doing a lot of the micro distractions in those 2 hours, they may need more of like a 30 or 40 minute work chunk and then a big break and then another 30 or 40 minute work chunk and a big break. Better for them to go the 30 minutes without a micro distraction and really have that devoted time, their prefrontal cortexes, to get on a roll with whatever they're doing, and then to take a 20-minute break intentionally, right, then to try to go at it for 2 hours and keep on starting and stopping. And then finally, one more strategy with the micro distractions is rewarding, right, rewarding yourself or your clients, rewarding themselves when they're done. I'm not going to get any snacks, or I'm not going to make these phone calls, or I'm not going to check Facebook, or you know, whatever it is, until I get this task done. But then when it's done, I'm going to allow myself to whatever, you know, whatever is a reward for them. Okay, so we've got the inner strategies for micro distractions, which is really about looking more deeply at the fears, the anxieties, take them through either befriend your fears or rewiring. And then we've got these outer tactics that can be really helpful for the micro distraction. Okay, let's look at another type or level of distraction that is pretty common. And I call these distractions macro distractions. So macro distractions are more global or larger distractions that you create to stand in your way, not in the way of a specific task at hand like those micro distractions, But rather, macro distractions, we create them so that we don't have to connect with ourselves. So, in other words, macro distractions are the habits and patterns that really sabotage us and stand in our way of aligning with our deepest selves and our hearts and our wisdom. And therefore, they stand in our way of making the decisions that are truly aligned for us. So I probably don't have to explain to you why this is so important, right? Even if it's not top of mind for your clients to be able to connect with their deepest selves, to connect with their hearts, with their wisdom, you know, with all of that, you know, even if it's not top of mind for our clients, we want it to be top of mind for us, for our clients, right? Because our clients are going to be most successful when they are making the time and space to really connect deeply with themselves. So let me give you some examples of macro distractions, of these distractions that we create that really stand in our way, not of specific tasks that we want to get done, but again, that stand in our way of deeply connecting and being present, not just to ourselves, but to the moment. So some examples of these are when we overwork. That's a macro distraction. When we overexercise, chronic web surfing or social media, overeating, over-socializing, over-preparing, over-caffeinating, over-analyzing, analysis paralysis, right? So I'm sure what, you know, you're hearing here is a lot of the word over. That's the big clue here. Our macro distractions are things that we do in excess, even if that thing is quote-unquote good for you, right? Like exercising. Exercising is good for you. Working. Working is good for you. Socializing. Socializing is good for you. Preparing. Preparing is good for you. But anytime it crosses into the over territory, right, doing it too much, then it becomes a macro distraction. It becomes something that you do that distracts you and disconnects you from yourself, that disconnects you from your feelings, that disconnects you from your emotions, that disconnects you from having access to your full range of energy and inspiration, that disconnects you from the present moment. When you create these macro distractions, they lead you away from yourself. And when you lead yourself away from yourself, you are, in effect, wasting time because you're distancing yourself from the precious and valuable and powerful inner wisdom that's going to lead you to the exact next steps that are right for you. When you are in your macro distractions and you've led yourself away from yourself and your inner wisdom, oftentimes the result is that you spend time turning your wheels, just spinning your wheels on misaligned actions, misaligned intentions, and persistent, unuseful thoughts. And our clients do this as well, right? Macro distractions, these macro distractions that we've been talking about, are the self-sabotaging strategies that we use in order to fill any void that we may have of spiritual or emotional hunger. I'm going to say that again. This is really important for us to understand for ourselves and for our clients. Macro distractions are the self-sabotaging strategies that we use to fill the void of spiritual or emotional hunger. So, in other words, instead of nourishing ourselves with spiritual or emotional sustenance, right? The spiritual and emotional sustenance that we all need in order to feel satisfied with ourselves and with our lives. So instead of nourishing ourselves with that spiritual or emotional sustenance, we use the junk food or, you know, the filler of the macro distractions to trick ourselves into thinking that we're satisfied. But of course, as we all well know, the thing is that we never really trick ourselves for too long, right? We don't feel satisfied by these macro distractions for too long. That's why we need the hit over and over and over again, right? So, for example, when we're using overworking as a macro distraction, and this is one that I know personally very well, that's one of my macro distractions, is overworking. At first, when we do it, we may feel like we've got everything under control and it feels so good and we're moving forward and we feel satisfied and we think we feel spiritually and emotionally satisfied or the work is feeding us. But if it truly is overworking, eventually it's not going to feed us for too long. We're always going to end up feeling empty and undernourished and drained, right? And same with any of those other macro distractions that I spoke about, overworking, over-exercising, chronic web surfing or social media, overeating, over-socializing, over-preparing, over-caffeinating, over-analyzing, right? All the things. Okay, so if you sense, you know, and this takes deep listening when you're working with clients, right? To hear if they are actively using a macro distraction in their life. So you want to listen deeply, obviously, always to clients. And if you hear that a macro distraction is at place, you want to create awareness around it, around the macro distraction. You want to create awareness for your client around where they may feel spiritual or emotional hunger. And you want to help them find a better strategy to fill the spiritual or emotional void. So you can do that through just questions, right, and conversation. Or I want to give you another technique that you can use. And so we'll do this work. I'll share it with you so that you can do it for yourself first. So I want you to pick from what I've been talking about in terms of these macro distractions. Pick one that you know you use. Maybe for you it's over-socializing. Maybe for you it's overworking. like it is for me. Maybe for you it's over social media-ing or over exercising or over preparing or overthinking, over caffeinating, right? Whatever it is. And others that I haven't mentioned, right? Even over worrying can be a macro distraction. Over cleaning, right? Like just cleaning. Your house is already clean or neat. Over organizing, right? Whatever it is for you. So choose one. And we're going to do a little visualization with this one. So take a moment, close your eyes. Take a couple of nice deep breaths. And I want you to call forward in human form the part of yourself that is in the macro distraction. So you might be calling forward your overworker self. Or maybe you're calling forward in human form your overexerciser. Or maybe you're calling forward in human form your over-emailer. So let this one appear in front of you, whatever this over one is, right? And really see this one in front of you. And really take in all of the details of this one. Notice what this one looks like. Notice how old this one is. Notice what this one wears, how they wear their hair, how they hold themselves and their body. Notice the look on this one's face and really connect with this part of you. Connect deeply with this one. And as you connect deeply with this part of yourself, your overworker, your overexerciser, or whatever this one is, really just be with this one. Let it know that you see it. Let it know that you want to connect with it. And I want you to ask it, what purpose it serves for you? What purpose does it serve for you? And ask it to let you know, tell it that you sense that you're using it. One of the ways that you're using it is to avoid, rather to fill yourself up. To fill yourself up spiritually or emotionally. And ask it, what would be a better way? What would be a better way for you to feel more satisfied with yourself, to feel more satisfied spiritually, to feel more satisfied emotionally? What would be a better way? Ask it for suggestions. And then from there, continue to connect deeply with this macro distraction part of yourself. And ask this part of yourself, what is the wisdom that you need to remember in order to not fall into the overing, right? Whatever the overing is. What is the wisdom that you need to remember or know that it wants you to really know so that it can work better with you and be in its right place instead of in this out of control way? Beautiful, good. Take one more moment with this one and give this one love. Love this one up. Let it know that you see it, and let it know that you don't hate it, you don't judge it. Let it know that you're really committed to helping it find its right place. So that, for example, if you're an over-exerciser, that you can find the right place for exercise in your life, a place where it's going to serve you the most, but not be over. Or under, right? So love it up for a moment. And then from there, you can just let it go for now. Thank it first. Thank it for bringing itself forward and bringing forward wisdom briefly today. And then you can let it go. And then take a nice deep breath in and out. And open your eyes and just take a moment and jot down anything that you want to jot down that feels important that came through in that little visualization. So for those of you that have been through the Sacred Depths shadow training, I'm sure you'll recognize, like, we did a little bit of shadow work there too, right? We didn't go into the full sense of it. A lot of times when there's over something, there's shadow involved too. We didn't go fully in there, but there are pieces of that in there for sure. So that's a visualization, and just a little bit. It doesn't take a long time, right? It's very short, but that's something that you can absolutely work on with a client who is really struggling with a macro distraction. And then in terms of outer strategies for eliminating the macro distractions, obviously you want to do the inner work first. And then from there, number one, become more aware of when you are doing the macro distraction. And track it, right? And you can help your clients create a tracking sheet, or you create one for yourself if you want to work on this, right? And it would look like any time you overwork, you notice it, right? So the first is to start to become aware. And some of the work here might be to help clients become aware of, like, what is an appropriate amount of work, and then when does it turn into overworking, you know, for them? What is an appropriate amount of exercise, and then when does it turn into over-exercising for them, so that they can recognize the signs, right? And then track it. So Monday, 5 p.m., started overworking, right? And then another thing they can track, you know, there can be a column for when, what day, what time, you know, how did it happen, what were the circumstances, and then another column could be, what do I actually need right now to feel satisfaction? What do I actually need right now to feel satisfaction? That's such a helpful question to ask. You can ask it in the coaching conversation, and it's helpful in the tracking because it's just like all of a sudden there's a better solution, right? A lot of times when I overwork, what I actually need to feel that soul satisfaction and the emotional satisfaction is to take a walk for 5 minutes, or to journal for 5 minutes, or to dance, or whatever it is, spend time with my kids, whatever it is, cry, right? So to ask yourself in that moment, what do I actually need? Like, this thing isn't going to fill me up. What is it that I can do right now to fill myself up? And it doesn't have to be something that takes hours and hours, just a few minutes usually for that emotional or spiritual satisfaction. So you want to track, and then you want to choose a different activity. And you may want to help your clients, and you can do this for yourself too, just make a list of alternate activities that will actually nourish the hunger and not distract from it. And they can just, if they're not sure what they need in the moment, they've got a list of 5 things and they can pick one of them that they know is actually something that helps fill them up. Okay, we've got just a little bit more to go for today. I want to talk about one more type of distraction, which is what I call daily distractions. Not the best term for it, but I'll tell you what they are. What daily distractions are all of the unfinished tasks, errands, issues, communications, anything that's unfinished in your life that slowly eats away at your energy and your time and your focus because it's unfinished and it actually wants to come to completion. It's any unfinished business that's ready to come to resolution. So let me give you examples of what these are. I think you'll start to understand what I mean by it. So anything that is unfinished that drains your energy. For example, it can be something as small and petty as the burnt out light bulb in your kitchen that you haven't changed for like a month. You keep on saying you're gonna do it, but you don't. And then every time you need light in the kitchen, it's not there. Right? That can slowly, in the moment, may not seem like a big deal, but it can slowly drain your energy. Or, this is a much bigger one, but same idea, maybe it's the former lover that you never had closure with, right? It's unfinished business. Drains your energy on a daily basis, even when you don't realize it. Could be the closet that really needs to be cleaned out because it's draining you and it's wasting your time. You can't find the clothing that you need every day, right? And it's like, oh, I can't deal with this now. Quick, I just need to find the clothing and get dressed and go, right? But like after 2 months, it has wasted a lot of your time and energy because you can't find your stuff. Maybe it's the bill that you haven't yet paid that needs to be paid, or the client that owes you payment from last year that you haven't pursued, right? The unfinished business. Maybe it's the wedding pictures that you haven't gotten framed, or it's the dental checkup that you know you've missed now a couple times in a row, right? It's the unfinished things or the things that need to be completed that drain your energy, that sabotage you and your time, whether you realize it in the moment or not. So I want you to start to play with this one. This one is like a little, can be feel a little less tangible. And I want you to do this as a little bit of homework, or you can just stop the recording right now for a few moments and do it. I want you to make a list of all of your daily distractions, all of the little things that, like, you haven't gotten done. It's unfinished business or just things that need to get done that you haven't small scale or large scale, that are actually draining your energy. Now, this is not like a big to-do list where you just write down all the things that you need to do or want to do one day. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about are the things that drain your energy because they're not done, right? There's a difference between that and your to-do list. So, you know, for example, here's another example, like forever I didn't have all of my passwords for all my different things in one place, and it would take me forever and ever and ever. You're just wasted. I mean, when I say it take forever, it would waste 5 minutes every time I would try to find a password, right? That was a daily distraction. It was something that over time was taking up a lot of my time, even though in the moment it was just taking a few minutes, right? And so I created a password list, finally, for myself, right? For a while, our coffee maker was broken, and I'm not so addicted to coffee, though I like to have a couple sips in the morning, but like for John, it was like he would go out of his way to go buy coffee instead of making it home. At home, it cost money and it cost time, right? That was a distraction. That it was unfinished business, right? We needed to just get that coffee maker, a new one. I've had situations where it's like I've just stopped talking maybe to a friend, like we've lost touch, but I didn't know why and it hasn't felt right. It's unfinished business, right? We need to either bring that to completion or find out why or deal with it in some way. Because if not, just like every day, right, you end up thinking about it. It takes up your time. It takes up your energy. So make a list of the distractions. And this is just a great exercise, homework exercise, to give for clients too, right? And then the next step after that is to pick the one that is eating away at your time or energy the most and make an action plan to complete it. And you can even just order them, right, in order of priority and start scheduling in time to complete these things or work on these things. Okay, last piece that I want to touch for today, and I'm just going to touch on this lightly because I know I've already shared a lot in this call, but I just want to talk briefly about systems. We've already, in a lot of different ways in this call, have touched on systems, but I want to just look at them in a focused way, because systems can be very simple yet very powerful time savers. I feel like systems are a strength of mine, being a Virgo. I use them in so many ways. And when you begin to use systems in your life or go deeper with systems, you automatically find that there's more time and energy available, and they can also ease a lot of anxiety on a daily basis. So I just want you to be thinking about this for yourself and also to be spotting for your clients where they can institute systems and help them create awareness and strategize around it. So what is a system? A system is any process or task that you do on a regular or semi-regular basis that can be made into a set routine so that you have all of the instructions and steps laid out and you don't need to think about it too much. I'm going to say that again. A system is any process or task that you do on a regular or semi-regular basis that can be made into a set routine so that all of the instructions and steps are laid out and you don't need to think about it too much. So what do I mean by a system? Well, for example, when Penina was really young, we had a diaper bag that we lugged around everywhere. And, you know, at first I didn't have a system for the diaper bag. And so every time before we left the house, I had to start to think what needs to go in the diaper bag and what do we need and blah, 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 and all of the things. And it would, like, it would take, you know, 5 minutes to think of all the things, and it would really stress me out, especially when I had, like, a crying baby that I wanted to get out of the house, right? And then I created a system for it. And the system was super simple. It was just a list of all of the things that always need to be in the diaper bag and where diaper bags have lots of pockets and, you know, which pockets they're in so that I know. And that was it. It was just 1, 2, 3, right? Here's another example of a system for home. We have a food shopping system in our house, so we have a list. One day I finally took the time, and I went through the refrigerator, and I went through the pantry, and I typed out every food that I saw or could think of, the name of the brand, everything that we use in our household on a regular basis. And once a week, we print out that list, and I add to it as we add more things that we eat or, you know, whatever it is. Once a week, we print out the list, and I circle the things that we need for that week. These days, I do have someone that helps me in the house, and they do the food shopping for me, and this system is even more important because I just print out the list. I circle the things that we need, or I even can tell her, go and see what we need, look in the fridge, look in the pantry, right? And it's done. We know what goes on the shopping list. It takes literally like 2 minutes, not kidding, sometimes less, to make the shopping list because the system is in place. A system that I need to put in place that I don't have in place is a skincare system because I haven't been taking as good enough care of my skin as I could be. As I'm saying that, I'm like, I should drink some water right now. But anyway, you know, I would love to have like a night routine, right? I'm getting a little older. My skin needs a little more support these days. If I just had written out a skincare system, I may not get to it every day because I'm not a robot and I'm not perfect and all the things, but I bet you I'd be taking much better care of my skin if I figured out a system for it. In our businesses, right, that's another big place where systems can help so much, save time and also like get things done. So I'm sure you've heard me speak before about a system for newsletters, right? If you're having trouble getting newsletters out, create a system for it. So a system for a newsletter might be you want to put a newsletter out every other week. So the first Monday of the month is when you write your first draft. The first Thursday of the month is when you write your second draft of the article. The next Monday is when you format it, right? Whatever the system is for you, but write it out so that you have it for yourself. This is a great strategizing technique with clients if you're not already doing this. So my piece of homework for you is to pick one thing in your personal life or your business that could use a system. It's something that either you're spending way too much time on because you're not organized. It's something that you do regularly enough that you're spending way too much time on it because you're not organized around it, or something that you want to be doing regularly but you're not getting to because you're not organized around it. And create a system for it. Write out an example for yourself. Okay, that was me taking a sip of water. That pause. Doing something for my skin. All right. So that's all I've got for you today. I would love, because you're listening to this via recording, I would love, love, love to hear your takeaways from this training call, to hear what you're learning for yourself and what you're seeing and what you might want to experiment with for clients. let me know also if this was helpful. This is the first time I'm kind of doing a pre-recorded training for you guys, and so let me know if there's any, you know, what you liked about it, if there's anything that you might want tweaked for future things. But let me know how, you know, how it goes and what your takeaways are for sure. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got a lot out of it. And I will talk to you soon. Have a great day. Bye.